so much for blessing us. Thank you so much. 10,000 reasons, Lord. We can't number the amount of blessings that you've poured into our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying upon a cross so long ago for our sins, for our guilt. And we reflect on that, we remember that in celebrating the communion this morning, as you told us in your word, the take of these things, the bread, the cup, to remember, to remind yourselves that indeed the blood has been shed, the body has been broken. Your body, your blood has been shed for us to redeem us from our sins, to cleanse us from our unrighteousness, to make us holy in your sight. O holy God, we come before you, not because of what we have done, but what you have done as our great God, as our Savior, as our Lord. We come humbly before you. We come requesting that you will cleanse us, that you will make us to be your holy people. Lord, we come repenting of our sins, asking that you will change our hearts, change our minds, make us to be all that you've called us in your word. And Lord, we know that we cannot accomplish that even of ourselves. We need your Holy Spirit's ministry amongst us even today, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to change our hearts, to convict us of our sins. Sometimes we are so blasé, we are so blind and deaf to what you want us to do in this world. Lord, we pray today that your Holy Spirit will come and minister to our hearts today, to make us, to conform us into your perfect will. Lord, you tell us that in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we are to worship you with our whole bodies and our whole spirits and our whole minds. Lord, help us not to be conformed into the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, even renew our minds as we hear your words spoken to us and our hearts spoken to us this day. Lord, thank you for the blessing of being able to gather in your name today to worship you in spirit and in truth today. Lord, we pray that your truth will be spoken deep into our hearts, the reality of your resurrection, your ascension will reign in our hearts and our lives and our minds, that we would be all that you have called us today to be. Lord Jesus, we come to you with our needs, Lord. We are a people that have so many needs, Lord, that are without number sometimes, Lord, in our lives. Lord, needs in way of finances to be able to just survive here in the lower mainland. No, Lord, we know how tough it is to make ends meet for our people, and not only for our people, but for our community. Lord, we pray for those that are hurting financially in our midst and in our community. Lord, we pray for those that are aching for family members, Lord, that don't know you. Maybe there's brokenness in relationships. There's struggle in way of conflict within our family unit. Lord, heal that brokenness. Help us to forgive one another. To claim your forgiveness, Lord, we need to forgive each other. You tell us that in our word and your word. Lord, help us to so forgive each other. And Lord Jesus, we pray for healing, Lord, of people, of family members that may be a far-flung. I remember Andrew Lynn this morning. Lord, I pray for him off in Hong Kong. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch his body as he recently been diagnosed with condition SARS-like. Again, we're having a reoccurrence of that. And even in our midst here in Vancouver with Legionnaire's disease here in Surrey, Lord, I pray for those that have been exposed to that flu-like symptoms and pneumonia-like symptoms. I pray, Lord, that you would heal these people. How could they even walk into Guildford Mall and be exposed to something like that, and just all the people that are worried and strifeful because of that? Lord, we pray for them. Pray that you would touch their bodies and heal them. Thank you, Lord, that you can touch our bodies. Touch us where we need to be healed spiritually, physically, emotionally. Lord, come by your Holy Spirit and minister to us even this day. We ask by the power of your working Spirit within us. Come, Lord Jesus, come and work your work today through the celebration, through the preaching of your word to us. We commit ourselves to that work, and we pray these things in the power of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for praying. Please be seated. As we continue with the proclamation of God's word to our hearts today, we'd have you look in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we began last week with talking about Acts chapter 1. And of course, Jesus coming and being with those early disciples and telling them and showing them for over 40 days from the time of his resurrection to the time that he was with us, with them, and then told them that he was going to be going to his Father to ascend onto the thrones. And there they were, those that were gathered watching him ascend on the clouds into the heavens in bodily form, not in way of spirit, but physically. So he reigns now physically in heaven. He is physical. He is man. He is God. But he reigns in heaven. It's so amazing that we have part of our humanity, part of who we are, seated in the heavens. And a first fruit, if you would, of our promised resurrection as well, that we will once again stand before God in physical bodies and glorified human bodies like unto Jesus' body. Well, as we come to our text this morning in Acts chapter 2, I've entitled the message this morning, "The Holy Spirit Fills as Wind and Fire," in way of our text this morning. 50 days from the day of Passover to the time when Jesus ascended, to the time of Pentecost, 10 days after those 40 days, Jesus was amongst them and ascended on the 40th day. But 10 days later, the church assembled, prayed, and waited, as Jesus told them to, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And at that 10th day, on that day of Pentecost, where the Jewish people were assembled to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits, there in Jerusalem, there they were, international people from all over the world. The known world at that time had gathered in Jerusalem for that festival. And there the church was. There the church was waiting and praying. And amazingly, God poured out his Spirit just at that very time. Pentecost was celebrated by the Jews from many nations, as I said. And Peter's speech proclaims to the many Jews at verse 14, and following throughout the rest of chapter 2 here, we have the account of Peter's first sermon before a large gathered crowd of international people, Jews, but international Jews, those that had come for that Pentecost celebration, the first fruit celebration, the first fruit of the harvest. And so today we look at these words that Jesus gave to the disciples in way of verse 4, chapter 1. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak." And so indeed, Jesus had promised that gift to them. They had waited those 10 days, and now was the fulfillment. Here we read at chapter 2, verse 1 through 13 today. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, asked because each one had heard his own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Perga and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Syria, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." And there is our text for today. I've broken this down into three sections that are printed in your bulletin outline this morning. The first being the gift of the Holy Spirit blows in. The second, the Holy Spirit enables with fire. And then third, the crowd is bewildered and amazed. First of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit blows in. No one could deny the need for power in the church. We all know that. We need the Holy Spirit's power in the church even today. Every pastor who leads a congregation desperately needs the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the man standing before you desperately needs the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I'd be soliciting the elders' board. You know, the elders' board, it says in your bulletin, if you read the announcement, that the elders' board is meeting this week. You can be praying for them. They have big decisions to make for our Cantonese, our Mandarin, our English congregations. But I would solicit the elders' board, if I did not have the Holy Spirit with me, to perhaps wire the pews with some electrical devices so that, you know, if I saw someone in the back there falling asleep, I could just push a button and then I would give them a little jolt, you know, to keep them awake, to make sure that things were happening there for them, that they were really listening. And, of course, it wouldn't be a jolt that would make their hair stand on end. It would be just a friendly, warm jolt that would make sure that they were paying attention and they would be focused throughout the message. But indeed, I depend not upon electrical jolts. I depend upon the Spirit of God to come and speak to your hearts, to your minds this morning, that you would indeed hear what God is saying to you as a person that's struggling with their relationship with God, with family, with difficulties, with finances, with things that are going on in your own personal individual lives that you struggle with. We sometimes, over the lack of the Holy Spirit in the church, I think, develop programs. And we depend upon our own talents and our own skills as individuals. Although programs do have some value, the real need of the hour is a heaven-sent filling of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, a filling that brings to us the empowerment and the enablement to involve ourselves in ministry and to indeed live lives that are pure and holy. Can I hear an amen from the congregation this morning? Amen. All right. One of the symbols that is mentioned here in our text here, it says in verse 2, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where there we sitting." The Holy Spirit arrives like a violent wind, we are told. It's not a soft caress of the cheek, is it? It's a violent wind that comes into the house. It's a gale force wind, a typhoon wind that kind of knocks people's hats off and ruffles their hair so that they're not the same people that were just sitting there because the Holy Spirit has come into the room. They're not wooed and coddled. And I think a lot of times as people in the church, we want to be wooed and coddled. We want the soft caress of the Holy Spirit. But this isn't how the Holy Spirit initially comes into the church. He comes in like a violent wind, like a typhoon. I like to do renovations on my home. And just a while back, I tried to renovate my kitchen. I don't know if you've had to renovate your kitchen. Well, you know, I didn't take out my little hammer and tap on the wall a little bit. No, sirree, Bob. I got out the monster, the sledgehammer, and I went to town on the wall, and I invited Daniel, my future son-in-law, to take up the sledgehammer as well. And he went to town on my kitchen with the sledgehammer. We had a great time wrecking the walls, right? Renovations, it takes not just a slight tap or a gentle caress. It takes some serious demolition work, doesn't it? Some serious mess to be able to renew, to refresh, revive. If we're not willing to deal with the mess, if we're not willing to deal with the shakeup, then maybe we should sit on down and watch a little TV program, maybe a James Bond where he's having his martini, you know, shaken, not stirred, okay? But don't go there. We as Christians, we as people of God need the sledgehammer in our lives. We need that force like a violent wind to come and to shake our world, to shake our spirit, that we would be all that God has called us to be according to the Scriptures this morning. This morning, we are told in way of the need in our lives for revival that resistance and pride can often take hold of our lives, that we hold off in way of that sledgehammer, that violent wind that comes towards us. The Holy Spirit only comes in His way in His time. It's interesting, isn't it, that it took 10 days for the Spirit to come once Jesus ascended. 10 days for those early people to pray and to seek God's face, to have the Holy Spirit then come and be present. I can't imagine that 10 days wasn't in way of preparing their own hearts, making and forming within them an earnest desire for the Spirit's work. And sometimes, again, we like to take the easy way out. We like the no mess, no fuss, one size fits all kind of renewal in our hearts and our lives. We don't take the necessary time and the energy to focus ourselves to indeed wait upon God for that Holy Spirit ministry, that Holy Spirit renovation in our lives. Wind is invisible to the eye, yet we know that it has power and that it is doing something, because we see, you know, hats take off in the distance and hair get kind of rumpled, and even to the place of even taking roofs off buildings. You know, when a whirlwind hits, or a typhoon, or a hurricane, or, you know, we know those are strong, powerful winds, and they can do huge amount of damage, do a lot of things that have great power. And so for us, are we willing to have those results in our lives, things that change us, that are supernatural? Supernatural, yet natural in the sense that this is the functioning of the church and how the church is supposed to function. Secondly, the Holy Spirit enables with fire. Fire is another symbol that is characterized here of the Holy Spirit's coming. We know from John the Baptist in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew how he spoke of Jesus and talked about him being the Lamb of God coming. And he said there in Matthew 3, verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Four things I want to draw your attention to and have you note in way of the character of fire when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the fire wasn't just for the apostles. It wasn't just for the leaders of the church there gathered on that day. No, it was for everyone. The Holy Spirit was for everyone. And I think sometimes in our churches today, we think, oh, well, you know, God, please bless the pastor that he gets a full filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we pray, isn't it? No. The Holy Spirit isn't just for the pastor, folks. The Holy Spirit's for all of us. We ought to pray not just, oh, fill the pastor with the Holy Spirit, God. No, we ought to pray, fill all of us. Fill our church with the Holy Spirit. As so it is testified here in the books of Acts. A church is more so a team sport than anything else, isn't it? A team sport. You know, teams like baseball and soccer, things that we have to work together on to make it happen. You won't see the coach blow his whistle and say, okay, team, just sit down there, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to score the goal against the other team out there. The coach doesn't do that. No, he blows a whistle, and the team rushes out on the field, right? And every member of the team, of course, there's some bench warmers that are going to go out a little later on in the game. But no, it's the whole team that gets out there, isn't it? And they play the game. Isn't it amazing to watch kind of team sports and see how everybody gets involved in the game? And, of course, you probably have some guys that are doing the scoring of the goals, and some guys are defense players in the back, and you got a whole interplay and an interworking of all the members of the team. But the team wins together or loses together. One guy just doesn't stand up and say, hey, it's all about me. I won the game. No, it's all about us. We won the game together. And that, folks, is the church. That is what the Holy Spirit's ministry here to the church was. It was everyone being filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just the pastor or the coach or the lead person. No. It was everybody. So that they could all do ministry together, to reach out to their friends, to reach out with the gospel, the proclamation of God's kingdom come to the world through Jesus Christ. It's a team sport. Fire, secondly, enabled them to spread the gospel. Remember, the great task of the church is proclaiming the reality of God's kingdom come to our world. The Holy Spirit gives us the different language to be able to communicate to people in their heart language, the gospel. It's not every day that a crowd of people have a mass experience of being able to speak in other languages. But God's giving a testimony here, a big sign that His fire is all about proclaiming the gospel and enabling the church to take that gospel to all the people. You got the list there. I read it for you this morning. Wow, some of those names were even hard to pronounce for me this morning. You know, language is a difficult thing, isn't it? It's complicated. It's got all kinds of different grammar and verbs and nouns and all this hoo-ha in there that, you know, you just can't wrap your mouth around and sometimes your mind around. But God's Spirit came and filled those people that they could get the grammar, they could get the verbiage, they could get everything together, that what they spoke out of their mouths came the pronouncement of God's glorious good news that He came and died in the Son, Jesus Christ, for sin. And that good news, those people spread in those people's languages so that they could hear, that they could understand. And they said, wow, wow, how did you do that? How were you able to speak my language and give me this great news about God? That's amazing. The fire of the Holy Spirit came and rested on each person to proclaim the kingdom of God. It says there in our text that the Spirit enabled, beyond our natural abilities. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, man, I can't tell somebody else about Christianity. How am I going to do? I'm just so nervous about that, right? How am I going to do that? It's not you that does that. It's the Holy Spirit that enables you to proclaim that truth to that friend, that relative that needs to hear the gospel. It's taking an opportunity to invite somebody to Alpha or to church to say, here, come hear about God. Come hear about His love. Come hear about His kingdom come to reign in the hearts and lives of people in this generation. Thirdly here, in way of empowerment and enablement through the fire of the Holy Spirit, it takes notice that the fire often in Scripture is used in way of form of judgment. Judgment. In Matthew chapter 3, that text where John the Baptist is talking, just after that, it talks about Christ coming with His winnowing fork to separate the wheat from the chaff. That's judgment. Judgment is brought upon us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit for a reason. He's holy. And we are sinful. We're not holy. We need God's holiness to come upon us, but sometimes that burns, doesn't it? That's painful when we hear, you're wrong. You're not right. You need to repent. You need to do those things that will make you holy before God. And that can only come as we see our own selves and look at ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. As people that are broken, that are needy of His healing in our lives. Repentance. Holiness is not an option if we're going to live the Christian life and if we're going to indeed be filled by the Holy Spirit to do His ministry, which is indeed to proclaim the kingdom come. Holiness is not a once-off kind of thing. It's a continual thing. It's a continual need in our lives to repent before God and say, God, I'm sorry, I haven't been doing it right. Please help me, empower me by Your Spirit to do it right. Holy Spirit, fire, come cleanse me, come burn me again that I might be purified in Your sight. Wind, fire, renewal must come to the church, must come to the people of God if we are to reach our world. And it has to come from heaven, has to come from God, not, you know, our talent, not, you know, the pastor's great speaking ability or the worship team's great singing up there. No, that's not what people need. People need the Spirit of God. Thirdly and lastly, the crowd is bewildered and amazed. Why are they amazed? Again, not because of the worship team. Not because of the great speaking ability of the pastor. They were amazed because they heard the Holy Spirit. They saw the results of the Spirit. The results of the Spirit was fire and wind and languages that filled their ears, that were their languages. It's not so amazing that they were speaking, but that they could hear these languages in their own understanding and know what they were saying. Amazing. Supernatural. Something of God, not of human ability. God proclaiming to His world that He was come and His purpose to come to spread His gospel to all people. This has always been the case in way of men and women who do great things for God, that they are moved along by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, to do the supernatural, to write amazing books, to speak amazing words into the hearing of other people, to do amazing things in mission fields around the world to proclaim God's gospel. Not because, again, of their skill, but because the Spirit is moving them. They are set on fire with a passion for God's glory beyond themselves to affect the world. The church today is caught up in debates about the speaking in tongues. But this isn't the point of this whole passage. The point is that these people were inane fishermen, people that were kind of the riffraff, the commoners. How could they study to be able to be so equipped to enunciate and clearly communicate into the understanding of all these diverse languages? The same tongues that had argued about who was greatest just a few weeks earlier, who denied knowing Jesus at His crucifixion, even debated if Jesus had really been raised from the dead until Jesus stood amongst them and they couldn't debate anymore. These same tongues were set ablaze to give praise and glory to the great God for His work in their lives. It's one thing for Luke to tell us that angels declared the glory of God. You know, in the beginning with the birth of Jesus, and we love to sing how the angels filled the heavens, right? And proclaimed the birth of God's Son. And we say, wow, that's amazing. But even more amazing is that the Spirit comes and indwells His people, you and me. And out of our mouths, out of our lives, comes the glory of God. That is amazing. And it's what bewildered the people of long ago. They said, wow, that's so amazing. That's so amazing. The Spirit comes to free us from our inhibitions, our complexes, our inefficiencies, our sin. Like Moses of old, we can say, boy, I got a stammering tongue, God. Don't choose me. Where's that brother Aaron of mine anyway? Where is he when I need him? You know, pick Aaron. You know, don't pick me. My stammering tongue, I can't face it. And God says, who made God people's tongues, Moses? Who made people's tongues? Don't you think I have the ability to use your mouth to communicate my truth to Pharaoh? Go. Likewise to us. We talk about our limitations, our inabilities, and God says to us, who made you? Who formed you? Who gave you your language? Who gave you your culture? Who gave you your background? But myself, I send you by the power of my Spirit. Go, go proclaim my truth, my love to all people. It amazed the crowd at Pentecost. They had seen the glory of God, not some people who were smart or gifted or good looking. They had seen God's power. God's Spirit filled the weak, the common, the people without means, with the means of indeed God's Holy Spirit. If we but humble Him ourselves and seek His face in His work, we will know the power of the Spirit in our lives, and we will be filled with wind and with fire. Do you believe that? Do I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray to that effect. Oh, Holy Spirit, come by your great wind. Do violence upon our hearts and our lives. Don't just coddle us. Don't just shake us so that we are like James Bond's martini. But move us and make us to be a new creation, Lord Jesus. Come into our lives. Change our hearts and our minds. Transform us to be holy, your holy people, to proclaim your holy work in this generation. Lord, we celebrate communion today. We pray that as we celebrate your great work in our hearts and our lives, that indeed the Holy Spirit would come and minister as your words are spoken, as the elements are taken, as the prayers are offered. We ask these things in Jesus' most powerful and holy name. Amen. Come, people that are serving the communion this morning, that we may take up the elements today. We ask you if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would not refrain from taking these elements. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, that you would just kindly let these things pass you by. Because God's Word says that we can eat and drink judgment upon ourselves. And we don't want anybody to be caught up and sick because they have taken these elements in an unworthy manner. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God tells us that we are to take these elements to remind ourselves, to remember His great work in our lives, in our hearts. We are to be filled with His Holy Spirit. We are to be the temple of God. Are you the dwelling place of God this morning? He desires His Holy Spirit to dwell within each of you. Take of these elements to remind yourselves of that and His holy work that is at work within you, doing a great renovation work, that His Holy Spirit would indeed reign and His kingdom would come and be part of who you are. Would you take these elements with that kind of devotion and seriousness before God this morning? Let's stand together. On that night, when Jesus was with his disciples in that upper room, he took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Let's take and eat together." Lord Jesus, we receive your broken body for us. Thank you for your great love that was given to us. And the wounds you received, we are healed. Amen. Please be seated. Let's stand together. On that night again, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take you all of it. Let's partake together." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood on our behalf. Amen. Please remain standing. And our worship team's going to lead us. If you can just turn around and put the cups down, and our ushers will collect those up for you. Just pass them inside, and our worship team will lead us in singing this morning. receive the benediction upon your hearts today, taken from a text in our scriptures from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In your bulletins this morning, we have a few announcements. Just to remind you that we do have our Alpha program beginning this week on the Wednesday evening. Please do sign up. It's a potluck. We have a sign-up that's online that you can register on. I think we have a computer here today that you can even register by using the computer, so you don't have to go back home. But you can go back home and find that as well through our website. Also, you'll notice our ESL classes are starting, our WANA program is starting, Friday night prayer meeting is starting this week. We have a children's choir performance that's going to be happening this week, September the 15th. You may want to go and take that in. It's over at the Evergreen Cultural Center. You want to speak to Jimmy or Ben. Can you say those names with me? Jimmy or Ben. And where's Jimmy and where's Ben? There's Jimmy and there's Ben. And these men have tickets. They're selling tickets for $15, right? So if you want to partake of that, the money goes to a good cause. You don't have to worry about that. But go and hear our kids sing over at the Evergreen Cultural Center this coming Saturday. Also, you'll note that we have a Mission Sunday next Sunday. Saturday night and Sunday morning, we'll have Ray Cobb here to minister to us. So do come to hear Pastor Ray speak to us. Also, remember our elders board, and also remember, if you would like to hear more about how to deal with things related to our physical body, the CAC, Coquitlam Alliance Church, up on the hill, has a great teaching program on Tuesday nights called Body Matters. So they talk about things like abortion, euthanasia, things that are happening within our community, as well as homosexuality, sexual identity, all those kind of things are addressed. So you might want to take that class. Great opportunity. Coquitlam Alliance, just up the hill. You have to register online. Just go on their website, and you can do that. May God bless you as you go into your week. Please join us for coffee outside the doors, and please do register for Alpha this week for our potluck dinner. We're looking for a great turnout. All those that are involved in our small groups and that, we're welcoming you to come out and join it. And next week, we'll hear a little bit more about our community groups and have a chance for you to register if you're not already involved in some of our community groups. So God bless you as you go into your week. Thank you for joining us. Drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the ancient